This is my radio story on Algoa FM.
So in the lead up to World Radio Day on Monday the 13th, we've been having chats with some of the colleagues at Algoa FM and asking them to tell us your radio story. Today is no different. I'm Charles Leslie, but this time round I've been joined by Renee Barwood, who is our traffic scheduler. That's correct? Is that the right term for it?
Absolutely,
okay,
yes.
Okay, so traffic scheduler. Yes. And so people go, so you mean the roads, the cars on the roads type of thing?
No.
And the answer, of course, is no, it's not. So traffic scheduling in a radio station is surely a fairly unique position and one that I don't imagine lots of people know about. So please summarize for me slash us what your job kind of comprises and entails.
Yeah. Okay. I always see a traffic scheduler as a funnel. Sales go out and sell airtime. We're a commercial radio station, so yeah, we rely wholly on advertising revenue. And the sales people go out and sell advertising. And I collect all the bits from all the different places, and it goes through me, the funnel,
yeah,
and then out back on air. And so kind of like the buck stops with me. So I source material. I make sure that the right ad goes out at the right time, that there are no conflicts of products and
Even voice of artists.
Absolutely, yes. Well, I try my best. Sometimes I make mistakes, so sometimes if you hear something going wrong with the adverts, that's my fault.
It doesn't happen very often, though. And as a consequence of me being the music compiler and Renee being the advertising / traffic scheduler, we obviously work very closely together. So the kind of nuts and bolts aspect of it, to give a little bit of background, is what happens is, subject to all the criteria that we take into account and the way that our scheduling, our music scheduling software is set up, I then create today, I create tomorrow's log. Once I've done that, I go through that log and I have a good look at it to make sure that everything looks more or less right, that the scheduling software has done what we asked it to do. After I've done that, I alert Renee to the fact that tomorrow's log is now done from my side and published to the places that it needs to be published. Then you take all those bookings from all those different places and turn it into the log, because, I mean, there's relevant things like time channels, mm-hmm, and so on and so on and so on. Mm. So where all do you receive bookings from? Because we've got three, yes, direct sales offices, two, yes, national sales offices. So yes, are you getting stuff from five different sets of places all the time?
And marketing.
So oh, yes, of course.
Because marketing does our in-house promos and, you know, our events and all of that. So I get bookings from – bookings meaning booking space on air,
yes,
on the schedule, on, yes, the commercial schedule. So I get bookings from United Stations who sell nationally. They've got an office in Cape Town and Joburg. I get bookings from local sales here in Port Elizabeth, one in East London sales office, and a sales office in George. So those are the areas that I deal with, or the people that I deal with, to make sure that the advert schedule, and that takes me 8 hours a day. Can you believe it?
I really can, because I've seen it.
So yeah, all the adverts get scheduled, and then your show and my schedule
merge.
Kind of merge. Yeah. Yes. To the music with the adverts. And that's what goes out on air, yeah, at the end of the day.
We call the process of merging those two integration. So Renee's advertising log is integrated into my music
that's
log.
That's right.
And then the log goes into real time. In other words, you can see exactly how far ahead or behind you are on any one of the hours on air, because the hours do kind of stand alone, which is also worth bearing in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to talk about time channels. We charge different rates for different times of the day based on who's listening or, yes, how many are listening, right?
Yes. Okay? Yes, absolutely. So you've got your 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12, and they're all different rates. So you can't move a spot that is booked into your 6 to 9 time channel into the 9 to 12 or 12 to 15 or any other time, because then you're doing the client in,
yeah,
basically. And vice versa. You can't upgrade because then they're paying less than what they're getting for. In other words, you move from 9 to 12, which is a cheaper time channel, to 6 to 9. So, but we've also got things like sponsorship that we do. So this news is brought to you by, and then the news plays, and they all they read the news, and then the client's ad plays afterwards, and that's it's kind of the news or a feature, a sport or weather is wrapped up by a client, and that's called a sponsorship. And I'm responsible for making sure that the presenter knows that this coming up news is sponsored and putting those ads and the billboards and everything in place.
Yeah. So literally every single thing that you hear on air, whether it's a song or an advert, is represented by one line on the screen, on the screen in front of us that we call the log.
Yes.
It is the log of today's events.
Yeah.
And there are up to 1,000 individual events in a 24-hour log on our radio station.
Yeah.
And between the two of us, Renee and I certify on a daily basis
that everything's correct.
That thing is as close to 100% correct as it can be, that everything is where it should be, and that it has audio, as we phrase it. In other words, when you push play, it will play.
Absolutely. And that's another big part of my job, which I forgot to mention, is making sure that when the presenter presses play, that the correct audio for the client, I'm very much involved with clients because I make sure that their things go, their ads go on. So when, that the correct ad and not an ad advertising a sale from last month or some such thing.
Yeah. So in other words, so that you're not hearing Christmas ads in February or Easter ads in September.
I've done that before.
we've all had a turn of something along those lines. Now, one of the things that I want to kind of just add at this point is I've obviously then worked with Renee for, I've been music compiler for nearly 10 years. You've been traffic scheduler on Algoa for how long?
Close on 23 years.
Close on 23 years.
Yeah.
How is it that we are not visiting you in some kind of place that cares for people with mental health issues? Because your job is uniquely stressful.
It's a strange kind of stress, Charles. It's stressful on a daily basis. It's time management, basically, and prioritizing every single thing every single day. So when an email comes in, I'm going, does this pertain to tomorrow's log or can I leave it? And if I can, it gets put aside and I focus on tomorrow. My whole focus is on tomorrow. But I haven't got long-term stress.
Right.
If you understand what I'm saying,
yes, it's very I'm not focused, worried about concentrated on
today
for tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely. And Fridays are stressful days for me because we do Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Luckily, unfortunately, I don't work on a Saturday and Sunday, so I have to prepare, but I still have to prepare the log. And of course, when I go, sometimes if no one's here to take my place, then I would have to prepare, if I was going on a day's leave or something, I would have to prepare in advance. So it's short-term stress and pressure for now. And that's why most of the people in this building always see me glued to my screen, basically, because I have to complete tomorrow's log and get it right today.
Yeah.
But when I go home at 4 o'clock and it's done, it's pretty much over for me. So it's short-term stress, but it's not –
So something serious would need to have gone wrong for you to need to get involved after hours.
Yes, right. Absolutely. And for example, there's technical issues like what happened yesterday with, you know, stuff going wrong.
Yes, we work with stuff called site replication because, as is a known fact, we have a transmitter split or three transmitter splits in the afternoon between 3 and 7 p.m. Depending on where you are in Algoa country, you will hear a different drive show.
Right.
Now, each one of those drive shows gets the same music, but they get unique advertising. So, in fact, Algoa FM broadcasts 32 hours in every 24, which is quite a trick in itself.
Interesting way of putting it,
And now, so we have, as I said, transmitter splits, and that means that we have Vinny, who handles the drive from East London. We've got Simon, who handles the drive in the Garden Route, and we have Roland, who handles the one for more or less the middle of our broadcast, the so-called western half of the Eastern Cape. And what happened yesterday, as Renee is referring to, some error must have occurred in our playout software over the course of the weekend, and the site replication that was supposed to happen between PE and East London simply didn't happen for Tuesday. And there we were running around trying to fix the problem.
Yes, yeah. Because it's from an advertising point of view, it's lost money. Yeah. You know, we would have to compensate
clients. Those ads don't go out on air.
And the client has paid for them. We would have to compensate, yeah.
And the other thing, of course, is sometimes the advertising is time-bound and it turns into a sheer loss.
Absolutely.
You can't compensate, which is also a hassle of sorts.
Yes.
So now we know more or less what you do, how it fits into the big matrix that is radio in general and Algoa FM specifically. The question then becomes, how on earth did you get here and who would be stupid enough to sign up for this?
Yeah, that's true. Nobody wants to do my job. I've seen that over the years. It's a long story. Can I tell
you? I'm here for that.
I did lots of different things before I came to radio. I was in a huge number of different jobs. Could never quite find my niche.
Okay.
I was a laboratory research and development technician. I worked for auditors. I was a restaurant manageress. I didn't do the cooking.
No.
I didn't do the cooking.
That's the part I can handle.
I worked as an estate agent. I just couldn't find my niche. So a friend of mine worked in radio and she used to tell me about it. And I used to think, oh, wow, that would be a nice place to work.
But you weren't being kind of seduced by the alleged glamour. It was more interesting, I'm
absolutely,
hoping.
Absolutely. Because I had a friend. I mean, she was very honest with me. I mean, it's not glamorous. Believe me, it's not glamorous at all.
And it can be quite cruel on a bad
day. Absolutely. She was telling me all about it. But it seemed like I think it's because it's so diverse. You're dealing with different kinds of people all the time. Some of them divas, others not. but it's different. And
yes, Koliswa.
And others. And you're dealing with different people and you're dealing with different products, you know. My job, I can't say, is hugely stimulating and I've got, you know, it can get quite boring because it's the same thing over and over every day. But I would much rather be doing this for a radio station than a company selling pipes or nuts and bolts or something, you know. Mm. So because of all the stimulation in the environment, it's wonderful. But so she used to tell me about this and I used to think, wow, it must be really interesting with all these different people and products and things. And then a job became vacant at 702 in Johannesburg while I was working there. So I applied for the job, but I knew that you had to have it was a secretarial position, so you had to have word processing.
Oh.
And I didn't. So I quickly sent myself on a 3-day course for word processing and applied for the job. And on a wing and a prayer and a fib, I got it.
Awesome.
The fib was that Terry Falkvane was the sales manager of 702 at the time, and she asked me, are you proficient on a computer? And I said yes without hesitation, but I had a 3-day course. But that being said, I continued and I loved my job. And then I don't know if you will remember when there was always just SABC. Yeah. 702 was a private radio station that could get away with it because in South Africa we didn't have private radio stations. We only had the SABC, but they used to broadcast from Botswana.
That's right.
One show a week, and that allowed us to be a private radio station within South Africa. So when things privatized, the SABC sold all the stations to private owners, 702, I think it was the Prime Media Group, acquired licenses for other radio stations, Cape Talk being one of them in Cape Town. And I'd lived in Cape Town before, loved Cape Town, so I thought, sure, I would love to go and work in Cape Town, which I did. And I was part of the process of starting Cape Talk together with Mike Wills. I think it was on the 17th or the 1st. I can't remember exactly what date of October, 1997. That was when we opened, when we started that very first 6 a.m. broadcast. And it was like, wow, you know, we've done this. So it was a very exciting time. And I worked then, I moved from 702 secretarial to Cape Talk.
As what?
Initially, as the MD was appointed for Cape Talk, and so I went down as his secretary, and we employed news and marketing and sales and whatever else needed to be done in. And quite close to opening, Michael, not close, but 3 or 4 months before the time of opening and going live on air, Mike came to me and said, "So Renee, what do you want to do?"
Like it went, hadn't been finalized.
No, it hadn't at all, because we were finalizing everything else. You know, I went, "Oh, what do I want to do?" And I had a choice of a couple of things. And I thought, "Oh, well, let me try traffic. I've never done that before. So let me try traffic." And here I am. I don't know. That was 1997. And however many years that is later, here I am still in traffic. So,
okay.
And it's a very, very specialized thing. So it's,
well, there's literally one or two of you.
For
each commercial radio station in this country.
Yes.
And there aren't even 100 commercial stations in this country.
Yeah.
No way close, in fact.
So we are a rare breed. And I think, as you said earlier, you need to be mental to do this job, because it's interesting, but I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy
it. When and how did you then join Algo FM, as in coming from Cape Talk to Algo FM?
Okay. That was family. I had a child, and our family, my husband's family and I, my family were here in Port Elizabeth. And so every day, every opportunity, we were hearing down to Cape Town from, I mean, to Port Elizabeth from Cape Town. And we just thought one day, why don't we just go and live in Port Elizabeth? And, somebody I had worked with at 702, in fact, Ryvak Bunce was his name. He had broken away from 702 and started United Stations, which is a sales house, a national sales house, for many different radio stations, including Algoa FM.
Yeah.
And he kind of knew that I was in Port Elizabeth, and the lady that was doing my job prior to me was leaving. So he phoned me up and said, "There's a job going at Algoa, apply for it." And I did. And so I got it. Luckily. Yeah. So that was a fluke.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Mm. And that was many years ago. That was 23 years ago.
Right. I'm not going to add my 6 to that, because I've just clocked 29 years here, which does my head in on a bad day.
It does.
I like to lie and say I was 12 when I started. that is absolute rubbish.
Yeah. We won't give away those details.
I'm always
here.
Scared that someone will do the math. I've almost reached the point though where I'm prepared to put the year back into my Facebook profile, because it just doesn't matter anymore.
No, absolutely not. And guess what? People do math, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
One of the chats that is also going to end up online is one with Dennis Karanji.
Yes.
Is he your boss? He's our sales. He's our local sales manager. He's not your boss, is
no,
he?
No.
Who do you report to in our very strange organogram?
Yes, I report to the finance manager. Right now.
Yes.
My job, it's very much like an island, Charles. And it's difficult because we kind of wedged between programming and sales. Because although
but
I
you
work
report to finance.
Yes, but you report to finance. Gotcha. So weird combination there. Yeah. But I kind of protect programming. In other words, try not to let too many ads go on air, because of course, you know,
listener fatigue. There's a term for it.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. But I also like to help to please the client and make sure that the client gets what they want. So it's quite a hard place to be. I often find myself between a rock and hard place, between rules and parameters set by programming and rules and parameters set by sales. And it's kind of like, so I don't report directly into Dennis. And I think the logic behind that would be, from a sales point of view, then they could just tell me what to do and do weird things against the wishes of programming.
Yeah, because there is a fine balance.
Yes.
I mean, we do understand that as a commercial radio station, we need to make money. We are a business.
Yeah.
However, we are in the business of entertaining people and making as many people entertained as possible.
Mm.
And that's literally how radio stations work. Okay, here's the big reveal. This is how radio stations work. Radio stations go and get listeners. They mm-hmm. decide what they're going to do, and they get listeners. And they go to advertisers, and they say, this is how many listeners of what kind we have.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if you have a product that is suitable for that kind of person, or the kinds of people who listen to this radio station, then advertise with us.
Yes.
And that's literally how it works.
Absolutely.
I'm the person who lures them with the music. The yes. presenters blend it all together.
Yes.
You are the person who makes sure that the ads are all in the right place. And ta-da, there
we
you have
radio, yeah.
the on-air
have,
product of radio station.
Absolutely. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. And it's very my position, because if I was working just for programming, if I reported into the program manager, programming could tell me exactly what to do, and no well, worries about sales. Whereas if I reported yeah. into sales, so they kind of put me in the middle somewhere.
Which now makes sense, actually.
Yeah, so that it's neutral. Finance is neutral towards my job. So it's probably the best place to be, because then I don't feel pressurized by either one that I'm wedged between to do their way or yeah. The opposition's way. It's the nature of the beast. There's always a fight between sales and programming, because programming doesn't want any ads. They
Absolutely.
Just want content.
Yeah.
And sales just wants ads. So it's always a, yeah,
no,
a little.
Said, it's a delicate balancing
yes,
act that,
yeah.
that results in what you hear coming
and
out
I
of the speakers.
Kind, yeah. And I kind of feel like I'm sitting on the fulcrum, or the point of that.
Yeah.
I always have, yeah.
Yeah, I can quite imagine.
Yeah.
Hmm. Very interesting. I've enjoyed listening to the bits of your radio story that I didn't yet know, and reminded of a few others along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks very much, Renee.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Sean.
Yeah, I hope this gives some insight. I've been enjoying listening to the stories, and the ones that I haven't been part of or heard yet, I'm listening. I'm looking forward to going and finding those on the website and listening to those as well.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sean.
This is my radio story on Algoa FM.